John 6:35-51. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of he who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I come down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world."
Thank you, Jean. Well, I was toiling a lot on this nice, freshly baked loaf of bread. And that labor included going to dealers and buying a frozen roll, and letting it thaw, and then rise. But the idea was that you'd all be able to get a little bit of a whiff of fresh bread coming through the aisle. And I know Katrina brought it down there earlier, so maybe that side of the auditorium got a little smell earlier. So fresh bread, as maybe you're experiencing right now, it's a very distinct smell. You all have probably recognized better smelling bread than this, ate better bread than this. But as we looked at last week, and this week, and also next week, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And his teaching as he goes forward in chapter 6, we're sitting in it for 3 weeks because Jesus spent a pretty long discourse talking about the bread of life. And so we, in turn, want to spend a fair bit of time looking at what he meant by all this. But this morning, the passage that Jeannie read, and there's a lot in there, but he says, people are drawn to Christ. The people that the Father has given to him are drawn to him. Just like most of us, you probably all had a good breakfast, you probably all had a good dinner last night, and so you smell that bread, and you think, oh, that'd be good to taste, but you probably don't have that real strong, like, oh, I really need to eat a bit of that. Maybe some of you had a hectic morning, didn't get a lot to eat, and you really feel that pretty strong draw to come and grab a piece of it. If you want to, you can. But it's all of us have felt that draw of hunger before. And that, I think, is what Jesus is playing off of this morning, but 2,000 years ago when he was talking to the people there. He says, "I am the bread of life." And let's look at some of those promises that he gives and some of the assurances that he gives. Let's pray. God, we see this measly, cheap loaf of bread in front of us that was easily prepared. Lord, it still had the smell that for all of us, when we get a whiff of it, it makes us salivate a bit. It makes us want to grab it and tear a piece off and eat it. And Lord, we know that that is a physical hunger that we all experience, whether it's for this bread or we've experienced it for other things. But Lord, as you taught thousands of years ago and is as true today as it ever has been, we have that same hunger within us, that desire to be filled on a deeper level than just our biological need to eat to live. And so, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, may you bring it alive, and may we be filled with your Spirit and with your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what Jesus is saying is that he draws us to him. Just like many of us, in some way or another, in some degree or another, we're drawn to the smell of that bread. Or maybe it wasn't that bread, you have a particular food that you know of, and when you smell it being cooked, there is a strong draw to that. So this morning, let's look at, just do a brief overview of what are some of the things that draw us to Christ? What is some of that aroma of Christ that when we smell it, we're drawn to? What are the things that draw people to Jesus? And the first that comes to mind is just kind of, and these are general categories. Each of these could be a sermon series in and of themselves. But I think just the person of Christ draws us to himself. The character, who he is. When we see Christ, when we read about Christ, when we experience Christ, that the person, the character of Christ draws us to himself. And I think that the best example of this in all of Scripture is the story of the prodigal son, or the parable of the two sons, where Jesus tells the story of the one younger rebellious son that rebels and leaves home, and the studious son that stays home, and both of them in their own ways aren't really showing love to their father, and how the father loves both of them in spite of their life choices. And I think that picture of the loving father loving both of his sons is really that draw of Christ. That aroma of Christ. That this is the type of person that Jesus is. He loves the rebellious child as much as he loves this child that stays at home and really, you know, tried to do life his own way. But the love of the Father is extended to both of them. So we see these characters of Christ come through. And we also know, you know, beyond that, there's the idea of forgiveness. And no matter what we've done, that there is forgiveness and there is grace for us. That the God, that Jesus is our Creator. God the Creator was there at the beginning. He created each of us individually and loves us for who we are. Again, this could be a whole sermon, but you know who we are and what we do. Like, we are created in God's image. It's not like, well, that person is clearly created in God's image. Like, look what they're able to accomplish and look at the skills they have and look at the things that they've done with their lives. It's not them created in God's image. It was you. It was me. And know that person of Christ, the Creator of Christ, who created us and loves us for who we are. I think that's probably one of the strongest draws we can think of about Christianity, about Jesus himself, that we are all compelled towards him because of that. So the person of Christ draws us in. Secondly, we can look at the work of Christ, the things that Jesus accomplished. Those things also draw us in. We look at his mission that he preached in one of his first sermons in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And he says, this is what I'm doing. This is my mission. God has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to end into recovery of sight from the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And we look at a mission like that, I think we're all drawn to that. Yeah, we want to be a part of something that is doing that. We want to be a part of something that is, you know, good news for poor, proclaiming freedom to prisoners, oppressed set free, the blind giving sight. Like, we all want to be a part of something like that. The work of Christ, the mission of Christ, draws us in. And then we look at the work, kind of the theological work of Christ, of what he did for us on the cross. And we call that atonement, where, you know, he paved the way for us. And that's part of what he gets at today when he talks about being the bread of life that was broken for the world. You know, the work of Christ, the brokenness of Christ, allows us to have that relationship with the Father. So the work of Christ pulls us in. What he did, what he accomplished, and what he's doing now, all of us would look at that and say, I want to be a part of that. I want that draws me in. Then we can look at the promises of Christ, another sweet aroma that can draw us in. You know, he said in verse 35 here that Jeannie read, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. These promises of the resurrection to come, that death is not final. And I think that's something that for every human being, we have this question of what happens after you know, our biological functions stop happening, right? We stop breathing, our heart stops beating, and life seems to be over. But every human being has that kind of question nestled in their heart, thinking, is that really the end? And Jesus says, no. No, I mean, if you eat this bread and drink this cup, there's life beyond when your biological functions cease. that there is. Remember last week we looked at the Zoe versus the bios, where it's biological life versus kind of this quality of life of what gives us that feeling of life, Zoe in the Greek. You know, that Zoe can continue. Even though our biology will cease, there's going to be something that is immortal that will come from eating of this bread. And again, I think all of humanity is called to that. It has that drawl in them, that question of what happens, and that promise of Christ of what happens after the biological life ends. It draws us to that. And then the last thing I'll mention here, something that draws us in, is the call of Christ for all of us. That call that we are involved in this mission. We are involved in what Jesus said He was here to do. You know, we are involved in being God's hands and feet in the world. We are to be the God's ambassadors here. Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians. He says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, to use us to spread the aroma of knowledge of Christ everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." Well, Paul, his sentences are a little wordy there, but he's basically saying that we get to be involved in that good smell, that we get to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We are called to be a part of Christ's body, of His church, to be ambassadors. And again, that's a vital, I think, a normal human longing, that we all want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We want to be a part of something that gives us purpose and gives us vision and gives us meaning in life. And Christ's call on each of us individually and us corporately, again, draws us to Him. So this draw of Christ, the person who He is, the work, what He's done and what He accomplished and what He is accomplishing, the promises He gives us, and the call for each of us. These four things draw us to Christ. These four things are that smell, that aroma, that we can, all humanity gets a whiff of it, and we feel that pull to Jesus Himself, to have that eternal meal that He calls us to. Now, this bread, even though it smells pretty good, it does smell like bread. If you didn't get a whiff of it, it does indeed smell of bread. But you all know here, I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything new, but smelling this all day long will not satisfy anything. As a matter of fact, I don't know the chemistry behind this or how it actually works, but, you know, when your body smells bread, it actually makes you more hungry, right? It activates the saliva glands. It makes you think that hunger you might have had gets exacerbated, and you're even hungry. And the only way to satisfy that is to eat. Right? You can't just get closer to that and smell it all day long and think, boy, I'm satisfied. Right? You'll get no calories into your system. You will just get hungrier and hungrier, and your life will be just frustrated. And likewise, Jesus calls us to Himself to eat of the bread. Not to watch it, not to smell it from a distance, but to eat. And we'll look at this a little bit next week, because next week he starts to talk in ways that almost sound literal, and in many ways it is literal that His body was broken for us. But He says, "You guys need to eat My flesh." And people are like, "Well, that sounds weird." But we need to eat of the bread. We're called to not just be smellers, not just to be people that are drawn and look at Christ and say, "That's beautiful, that's good, I like those ideas, I like what the church is about, I like what the church is doing. Jesus is pretty cool, I like the New Testament, but at the end, it's not for me." That's not what we're called to do. It's not what we're called to be a part of. Jesus is saying, "No, you must come and eat of this bread. Let it chew it up, and let its goodness spread through your body and be digested, and let its calories get to you, let it empower you, let it change you, and let it grow you into the person that I want you to be." Not just smell it, because we know that smelling never satisfies. It will never fill you up. It will never provide any benefit to you. It will just make you hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. And that's what Christ is calling His disciples to do 2,000 years ago in the Sea of Galilee, on the side of the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And that's what He's calling us to here this morning, to consume Him. Not consuming like we do every other consumer product in our world, like we're surrounded with things to consume. But He's saying this must be the staple of your diet, that you live off of this and then you will be satisfied for eternity. Now, it would be great to say the final amen here. You guys would be happy with a shorter sermon, and everything's happy. But unfortunately, as we read the text, there's some other things going on here. We can see that not everyone was drawn to this bread, right? And we just kind of laid out all these things that draw people to Christ, all these good things about his character, about his work, about his promise, about his call. But yet, there's antagonism in the text. You know, people weren't all responding the way that maybe people would have anticipated. And even though that call of Christ, that aroma of Christ, that draw appeals to everyone, and it goes out to everyone, in John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus says, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." So it is that draw that goes to all people. But for better or worse, there's competition. Right? There's other things in this world that also have a pretty sweet aroma. There are other things that surround us that also smell pretty good, that smell pretty enticing, that draw us in and invite us to eat and partake of what they are offering. And all of us have experienced that, and we all know that there are many different things that can pull us many different ways. Jesus is calling us to say, eat of this bread. This bread is the staple. This is the lifeblood. This is what will give life to you. And it's interesting, just kind of as a side note here, you know, we're used to hearing the bread of life. But in different places, in different cultures, this text is translated differently. Not because the word in Greek or Aramaic for bread is different. But I remember when my first time I traveled to Guatemala, where the Mennonite Church is doing a lot of work down there, and the Bible was translated into the native indigenous languages are there. And then you can see it on the pictures on their wall, and when they celebrate communion, it doesn't say, "I am the bread of life." Does anyone know what it says? How they translated it? Corn. I'm the corn of life. You're like, why is that? That's changing scripture. No, it's actually being very true to scripture. Because down there, their whole diet is based on corn. Their culture is based on the growth of corn. And the staple of their diet that they have at every meal is corn tortillas. And so when the first Christians and Mennonites went down there and started to understand their culture, to tell them that Jesus is the bread of life, you'd be like, well, what's bread? We haven't eaten bread before. Why is that? Well, the bread of life means nothing to us. But to say the corn of life, the tortilla of life, that means something in their culture. And for us, I think we miss some of that because in North American culture, as we experience it today, we don't really have that one staple that we have every meal. I remember the first time I was in Guatemala as a high schooler, that was tough for me, right? You have tortillas, corn tortillas for breakfast, and then you have corn tortillas for lunch, and then you have corn tortillas for supper. And sometimes you were able to mix a little bit of beans, a little bit of rice with it, but corn tortillas were the staple. Like, that was life to them. If you took away corn, they wouldn't understand how it was life. For us, we don't really have that. We have the variety. We might have one thing for breakfast, one thing for lunch, and one thing for supper, and it changes every day. And so the meaning of the bread of life, that translation of the staple of like what that which you eat at every meal and gives you life, we miss that meaning. So for us, we kind of need to understand that the bread of life is the staple of life. And what Jesus is saying is, you must eat of my bread to have that staple. But there's these other foods that might taste better, that might pull you off to the side, but they cannot sustain you. And we're bombarded with those things. We're all drawn to these other foods that might taste better, but in the end, they give the side effects that are not so healthy. We all, as a humanity, as individuals, as a people group, we're drawn to the influences of money. We're drawn to power. We're drawn to substances that can alter our state of being. We're drawn to sex. We're drawn to success. We're drawn to certain careers. We're drawn to have acceptance. We're drawn to comfortable lifestyles. We're drawn to be healthy. Now, none of these things may, as I listed them off, sound overtly wrong. Right? These are all good things that we need to have balance in our lifestyle. But I think these things have an aroma to themselves, and when we supplement them as our staple, if money becomes our staple, if power becomes our staple, the substances that we eat or drink become our staple, if the pursuit of sex becomes our staple, if being successful becomes our staple, if our career becomes our staple, if being accepted by everyone becomes our staple, if being comfortable becomes our staple, if being healthy becomes our staple, if anything becomes that one thing for us, we've chased something else that isn't the life-giving bread of life that is Jesus. And that's what Jesus is running into here. He's saying, I am the bread of life, and the other people are saying, no, we've got other bread. And who are you to say that you're the eternal bread? There's other options to choose from. And we face that same decision ourselves, daily or even hourly. Which option am I going to pursue? What is that thing I'm smelling that I'm going to follow after? What is it that I'm eating that is giving me sustenance? What is it that I'm filling myself up with? What is my staple? Is my staple Christ? And those other things are good and healthy pursuits to have. You know, have a good career, have a good family, have good health, and you know, solid finances. Those things are great. But if any of those things become our staple, and we push Jesus off to the side as something that we can experience from side to side, time to time. So this morning I challenge all of us to ask ourselves this question. What is it that we're feeding on? What is it that is our staple, that we're relying on? Is it Christ? Is it His bread of life that will never leave us hungry, and His blood that will never leave us thirsty? Are we feasting upon Christ Himself? Is it Him that is filling us up? Let's pray. God, we live in a world that is beautiful, that You created, and we're surrounded by Your beauty. And Lord, You have given us options and choices, and we can look around us and see that there are many different things that have a sweet aroma, things that draw us in, things that we want to taste and sample. And many of these things are good and great and healthy that You have blessed us with. But Lord, may we always remember that You are our staple, that You are the bread of life, and that a pursuit of You will lead to these other things. And Lord, may we never get that priority confused. So that as we examine ourselves, as we ask ourselves this question, may You lead us to Yourself. May You draw us in with Your aroma. And may we feast upon You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.